Blog Talk Radio.
My sisters, welcome to the PR table. This is your host, Dr. Dunlap, and tonight we're continuing on with this month's series, A Fresh Biblical Start to Planning and Savings. And this is the third episode where we're going to be talking about more practical strategies. If you've been with us for the last 2 weeks, then you know that this whole notion of planning and savings, as we've been able to discover so far, is really one that is biblical. And so we really want to encourage those of you who are listening. We really want to help those of you who are not able to plan or not able to save as you may want to, or where people say that you need to have a certain amount of money in the bank in order to be able to retire comfortably. We want to just deal with some of that stuff this month. And so without further ado, we are just going to go ahead and get down into the show. But before I do that, I just want to welcome once again, Mary Ann Williams, known around at the table as Mama. Just give a howdy, howdy ho to everybody that's out there listening, Mama.
Okay, good evening, my PRF family. Glad that you decided to be with us this evening. And all is well. Amen.
We are glad all is well. So if you've been with us, you know that we started off this month's series just trying to get some basic understanding about planning and saving. And one of the things that we really thought was important was that as we see people struggling in certain areas, as we see people that seem to be doing well in certain areas, doesn't mean that it does not need to be addressed. I put it like this frequently here on the table. Those of us who go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and sometimes twice and three times on Sunday, there's something at the end of the message that most people are looking for, because it's what's been embedded in the culture, and that is a message about Christ. Is how does Christ relating to this? What about offering somebody the opportunity to receive Christ for their salvation? That's something that we continuously go to church to every Sunday, right, Mama?
Yes.
And that's something that we're expecting because it's been put before us. And so although that is important, it's highly important, it's super critical, don't get me wrong. Yet at the same time, in order for us to live these holistic lives that we know here on the table, we know that Christ would love for us to live, for God would love for us to live based upon so much that has been communicated to us throughout his holy word, then we have to deal with things in that particular manner. So we're going to really just get into tonight's show. In tonight's show, we're dealing with this from a different perspective. You know, first week on April 7th, we just opened it up and just really just talked about, you know, planning from a general perspective and how important it is to plan. And we talked from Proverbs 16, from several different parts of chapter 16. But then last week we were talking and we introduced to you practical saving strategies. And some of you who are listening may say, well, hold on, I didn't get too many strategies last week. And you know what I say to all you who are listening? Good. Because the reality is we want you to be able to master one before giving you five. We want you to be able to implement at least one before we go to the next one. And if you can't implement that first one, then we want to understand why and what's going on. So, Mama, let me just throw it to you. If there is something from last week's show that you just wanted to bring up, or if you want us to just go into the show, and we'll do that.
Let's just go into the show.
Okay. Well, look, if you are listening, if you're listening by telephone, then all we ask is that you just press one on your dial pad, and if that's what you want to do as far as coming into the conversation, be a part of this dialogue, because it's an important topic that we're talking about this month, one of the most important to this PRF ministry. If you're listening online through blogtalkradio.com/PRF table, and you want to join into the conversation, all you have to do is press, go to your phone and just dial 347, that's the area code, 215-7934. Again, that telephone number is 347-215-7934. So here it is. I was thinking about something, Mom. I was thinking about how sports like so many, stages of our lives, it requires us to have some plans. It requires us to put some strategies into place, right? If we believe that we're going to be successful, right, we have to put some strategies and some plans in place. I mean, as a religious leader, as a minister, as a religious educator, one of the things that myself and my colleagues continuously put before the people is that if you want to go to heaven, you're going to get there by going through Christ. Right?
Amen.
You have to do that in order to be successful for eternal life. That's the Christian school of thought. That's the Christian reality. And so I started thinking about sports earlier, and I thought about March Madness. Those of you who don't know what March Madness is, it's the college basketball playoffs and championship. It happens in the month of March, right? And I thought about also the NBA playoffs, which really has just started maybe a week or two ago. And one thing that I've discovered, Mama, is that nobody, no team that has been fortunate or lucky enough to get to that point of being in the March Madness, being down to those last 64 and then the last 16, and then the last eight, then the last four, and then the last two going head-to-head, nobody gets to that point and can ever expect to win if they don't have a strategy in place.
Yes, that's right.
And I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to press against, I guess, some Christian thought for a moment, or some religious thought, not Christian thought, some religious thought for a moment, and tell you that willpower alone just is not going to get it. I'm going to tell you that thinking you can just pray about it and then turn it over to God just ain't going to get it. I'm going to tell you that merely quoting Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord knows the plans that he has for you, just won't get it. I'm telling you that because I love you. See, I don't know what everybody's being taught in their church. I don't know what everybody is being preached to in their church, but I'm looking at what the fruit is of so much of what is happening in people's lives, and I'm here to tell you a lot of people are not planning. Let's just go here for a moment. I'm going to go outside the box for a minute, and I'm going to come back in. You know how I can tell how a lot of people are not planning? Because of the people who keep having to have GoFundMe accounts in order to bury their loved ones. That's a lack of planning. Are there other factors involved? Yes, there are. But what we're talking about tonight, y'all, we're talking about strategies, right? So if we're talking about strategies, then look, there's some things that can be done in order to make those things that we're trying to get accomplished work out a whole lot smoother. I'm going to submit that you have to have some type of strategy in place to achieve those things that God has already placed before us. See, if you're going to go and you want to use be so quick to use Jeremiah 29 to talk about, I know the plans I have for you, then you have to have a mindset that there is something already ahead of me that God has already placed there. All I need to do is go out there and grab it. It doesn't say that I'm not holding on to God's unchanging hand as I'm going towards it. But I'm telling you, so much is out there that so many of God's people are just letting slip through their fingers for the lack of planning. And when I say the lack of planning, now I can throw in there the lack of planning and the lack of saving. See, we have to, and I'm saying this is for all of us, we have to specifically embrace and live out God's principles of planning and saving if we want better. If you're comfortable where you're at, I got something for that too. So let me just deal with this whole word about strategy, right? Because, and you know how I am, y'all know I love definitions. A strategy, and I love them, the simple definition for a strategy is defined as a particular long-term plan for success. That's it. Now, I am one, this is me, I'm one that believes that having a strategy does not always have to be long-term. But I think it, and I really believe this, and this is one of the things I worked on in my studies, was that it can and that it should be or should include a short-term. See, those of you who may be new to the PRF table and new to listening to PRF, Possessions, Resources, and Finances, we use a platform called Conflict Transformation. And in Conflict Transformation, we're focusing on the short-term as well as the long-term. And we're taking another perspective and just not just looking at what we can do as far as give you a fish today, short-term, and then saying, well, you know, since we gave you a fish today, I don't want to deal with you tomorrow, so I'm going to show you how to fish so you can come out here by yourself and be on this water by yourself, and then you can go and catch your own fish that's long-term. But what we're looking at is what's the complex relationships and the complex nature that may be present of why you don't want to get out on the water. You may not know how to doggone swim, but I want you to get out on the water so you can learn how to fish by yourself. But I ain't never asked you, do you know how to swim? So all I'm doing is now I get to make preconceived judgments about you, saying that you're lazy, that you don't want to learn how to fish. But really, I haven't even asked you, do you know how to swim? Who in their right mind wants to get in the water if they don't know how to swim?
That's good.
And so I want everybody to focus not on just the long term, but please focus on the short term as well. And why do I say that? Because everybody's not geared up for the long haul. So we got to meet people where they are. I can't expect everybody that's out there listening to us over this month as we're talking about planning and saving to just automatically start saving $100 per month or $300 per month or even $50 per month. Those of you who are listening, if you don't focus on anything else tonight, I want you to focus on the fact that you have the ability to plan already inside of you. God has already created you with the ability to plan. So what we have to do is our task to be able to try to give you some nuggets, and at the same time, if you're not willing to pick up those nuggets, make it enticing enough for you to say, you know what, let me grab that nugget. And then be able to say, let me put that in my pocket, and then let me go ahead and walk it out. So that's why we're focusing on this thing, Mama, about strategy, because strategy is important. If you're successful at planning and saving, this show is for you. If you don't plan or you don't save that well, this show is for you. And before you say that you can't save, right, I'm going to say let's talk about it. I'm going to say let's try to see can save. And then if we absolutely, absolutely, unequivocally determine that you just cannot save right now, then the next thing for us to do is to be able to say, let's find out why. Right? You're not going to tell somebody who's in the red every month when they look at their budget, oh, just save $50 per month. You really need to do that. Don't you know they really know that they really need to be saving money? So let's not be stupid and call it witnessing. I'm serious. It has to go deeper than that. Because so many people have been affected financially by a whole bunch of things that's going on in society that oftentimes may not have anything to do with them, nothing to do with them, and nothing to do with what they did not do. So if we absolutely determine that you're unable to save, then we're going to find out why. And we're going to be saying, okay, do we need to look at the fact that, you know, how much debt that you have out there? Question mark. Do we need to look and see if there is a concern or an issue with commitment? Question mark. Do we need to look at it as you don't really have the courage? Let me tell you, when we lost $20,000 over the weekend with the 401k years ago when stuff was crazy in the financial sector and hit and affected a lot of folks, that would make you a little bit more cautious of automatically saying, well, you know what, Monday, let me go ahead and put another $100 in. Whoa. because of what we just experienced. So those realities, we have to embrace them, not as excuses, but as reasons. Can we look at maybe it's just something that you haven't been educated on? And I ain't talking about race or necessarily specific cultures. It may be the culture of your particular community. What happens on my side of town, regardless whether I'm white, black, Latino, Hispanic, Asian, may be not taught, may be taught on the other side of town. And so it may be that difference. Or, let's be real with, can we be real for a moment, Mama? It
yes.
could be laziness. And we may discover that there's some laziness, right? And we talked about Proverbs 6, verse 8 last week, right? When we were dealing
yes.
with that strategy of bringing it together. And,
yes.
and so if we find out that these things are out there, right, if we can help to uncover what the root cause is or pull back the onion, if you will. Or how about, let's say it like this. How about let's put aside every weight and sin that easily beseeches us, right?
Yes.
Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe whatever it is that's, that may be uncovered as why we're not able to save, not able to plan properly, it may be us. It may be stuff that we're just not doing, right? So if that's the case, then we want to put that thing aside because it's setting us on the wrong path as a community, whether we're talking about a church community, whether we're talking about a family community, where you're talking about yourself as an individual. And if it's setting us on the wrong course, then we want to get back on the right course. We want to do a better job with our families. We want to do a better job with our communities. And we definitely need to be doing a better job with our churches. Lord, have mercy on our soul. If it's one place that needs to do a very good job at planning and saving and living as a moral compass, as a pillar in the community about planning and saving and embracing this particular principle that so many people outside the church have capitalized on, it needs to be God's people. And okay, let me take a breath. If you think that as long as you've done what was needed, let me hit this other group, if you will. You think that you've done what was needed, right, when it comes to planning and saving. If you believe that you have made certain sacrifices to plan and to save where other folks have not for whatever reason, or let's say you have certain socioeconomic conditions that don't make what we're talking about, planning and saving, an actual challenge for you today. Or let's say you got this support system or this network, like mama and daddy bail you out when you get in trouble, right? Okay. Please understand that what others do not do, I'm talking about regarding planning and saving, it affects you and your household as well. See, this thing, you can't live in a bubble. See, so many people that was affected by the housing bubble didn't even live in houses. Please hear me.
Yes.
So many people that was affected by the auto industry having to be bailed out. But what happened before they had to be bailed out? May have been using the trans pass because we living in Philly and I don't have to have a car.
Right.
But it still may have affected me in some other areas. So let me suggest that regardless of where you are with what we're talking about tonight, God has ordained these principles throughout history, and as they've been captured in his holy word, and as they're being lived out today, and they should be followed if we want to live life more abundantly, as Jesus said. So I hope from that brief introduction that you understand where we are and that we're not playing with this thing. Again, last week we talked about from Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8. That was just one of the texts that we used last week about the ant. And so I'm just going to say, look, if you missed it, go back to blogtalkradio.com/PRF table and then go back and listen to it. And what we gave you, I can give you what the strategy was. It's not like it's going to really truly matter unless you listen to what was being said. But that first strategy was doing it together. And Adia brought it out so beautifully for us. We have to do this thing together. And so before we look at, and it's just one one text that I'm going, one part of a text that we're going to look at tonight. So before we go there, I want to give you another definition of the word strategy. And I want you to keep this in mind as we're looking at Genesis 41. Another definition of strategy says this: the science and the art of using all the forces of a nation to execute approved plans as effectively as possible during peace and during war. Again, definition of strategy: the science and the art. That means, look, we ain't about to just go out here all willy-nilly talking about we're going to save $100, I'm going to save my money, and I'm going to save up for college, and we're going out here all willy-nilly. No, it ain't going to happen in my good Dr. English. It's a science and it's art. That means we had to put some thought into it, right? And I love how this, in this definition, Mama has said, and uses all of the forces of a nation. This thing didn't say you go out there and you use all of your individual force. It says uses the forces of a nation to execute. And what is it talking about? Executing approved plans. We talked, I think, in that first, in our first week, first Thursday show, we talked about God has to be the one directing your path. God has to be the one that's leading you in your plans. It doesn't mean you don't sit down at the table and you start writing down, you know what, if I do this, I want to do this, and you set goal. It don't mean you don't do all those things. But at the end of the day, the person who should be approving the things that you are putting out there to do should be God. See, I seek counsel from the board members on the PRF table and the ministry team on the PRF table and other folks and the advisory board. I seek counsel from them. But at the end of the day, the board can say, this is what we want to do. But if it's not lining up with what God is saying, we ain't going to do it. Because we want it to be approved. If it's approved by God, then it should come to pass.
That's good.
In the last part of this definition, it says as effectively as possible. That should give y'all some hope. That should give some of y'all some encouragement. That means, look, I may not save $1,000 over the next 6 months, but I may be able to save $1,000 over the next 9 months. Mm-hmm. See, if you listen to the world's perspective on everything, especially when it comes to finances and possessions and resources, you are going to be messed up. And I'm talking to us now as believers. Going to be messed up. Matter of fact, a lot of folks are messed up right now because of doing that crap. In one of our lessons that we teach, personal financial inventory, I believe, is also in Will You or Will You Not. One of the things that we communicate to people that your key is different than somebody else's key, right? I can't use my key to come to your house, Mama, and get in your house.
Right.
Because our houses are different. Our churches are different. Our communities are different. Our families' structures are different. So the plan may be approved for me to save $1,000 over a six-month period, but that may not be God's plan for you. So you can't get bogged down in what somebody else is doing. You just got to do your part. They may not run into some of the roadblocks when it comes to planning and savings as you, or vice versa. They may not run into some of the roadblocks that that you didn't encounter. Let's follow what God is saying, people. Let's flow with how God is flowing, people. And I'm telling you what I know. God is speaking in this season about planning and saving. Don't listen if you want to. I was listening to this young brother today, and he was talking about I don't want to go there. But he was talking about prophets, and he was talking about how things come to pass. And he said, how come so many So off the time, he's like, this is what I just keep hearing. All I'm hearing from prophets of today is about God is going to bless you. You're the head and not the tail. If you do this, God is going to do this. And it's financially related and dealing with possessions and stuff. He was like, where's the real prophets? Where's the prophets that we read from the biblical days? I said, no, set your house in order for you shall surely die. Nobody want to hear that. But the reality is, it's not about what you want to hear, it's what you need to hear. That's where we're at right now with this thing on planning and savings. So, the science and the art of using all the forces of a nation to execute approved plans as effectively as possible during peace and war. Ah. Mama, let's get it. Here's where we are tonight, y'all. We're in Genesis chapter 41. Particularly in between the 28th and the 36th verse. I don't know what version you have, Mama, but I like the New Living.
NIV?
Go ahead and read us. And we want to take this in bites, right? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So just read the 28th, the 29th, the 30th, the 31st, and the 32nd verse.
Okay. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. Amen.
Now, for some of you who just heard that, you probably are saying, what does all that mean? And I'm glad you asked. Here we have Joseph. Joseph was living in Pharaoh's house after his brother sold him, you know, and put him in the ditch and all that kind of stuff. So here we are in the 41st chapter. And you know how I am about context. So go back and to get an understanding, go back and start at the verse 1. But I'll give you a little bit, because I know some of y'all ain't going to go read the Bible. So here we got Pharaoh, who had a dream. He had a dream about some cows. And there were 7 cows that was grazing. They were healthy cows, right? Plump cows. And then there were some skinny cows, some little thin cows that came up behind them. And these skinny cows ate up the big cows. And so here Pharaoh, now all of a sudden he wakes up like, what the heck? Can you imagine that? Just seeing that, that just looks scary. Just me kind of thinking about it like, ugh. So then he goes to sleep again, and he has another dream about some 7 grains of 7 heads of grain that was beautiful and plump and on this single stalk. And then he saw where there was some more, and those were shivered away by the wind. So the wind was just blowing them away. They weren't looking nice. You got the point, right? And the thin ones swallowed up the plump ones. So same similarity, right? So then he wakes up and he's like, okay. Look, I'm really having a bad dream. So he gets up and now he's saying, look, let me call in the cats that I know, you know, these wise people, these wise men of Egypt and my magicians. Let me call them in. And look, I need y'all to tell me what the heck this all was all about, right? So they come in there and they can't interpret it. So I'm going to give you the short version. They can't interpret it, and then here comes a cupbearer and says, oh, my goodness, you know what? There's a guy named Joseph. Don't you know there's always this? There's always somebody that God has already out there that he's given the ability to be able to help you with everything that you need help in his life. So here now we got Pharaoh. Joseph comes to Pharaoh. And I love what Joseph says to him. He says, it is beneath or beyond my power to do this. See, Pharaoh had this dream, and he just wanted a quick response. I need you to tell me what's going on with this. I don't care about you. You just need to tell me what's going on. And the reason he wanted him to tell him about what's going on with this is my summation now, because he don't want to deal with that dream again, right? I need to know what this is about. Remember, he's Pharaoh. And so he tells him about what's going on, and then what Joseph does, he says, look, both of what these dreams mean are the same thing. Both of them. God is telling you. He said, look, he's telling you in advance what he's about to do. This is what Joseph is saying to Pharaoh. The seven healthy cows, this is going back up a couple verses. I could have started a couple verses earlier, Mama. The seven healthy cows and the seven healthy hands of grain both represent 7 years of prosperity. The seven thin, scrawny cows that came up later and the seven thin heads of grain, withered by the east wind, represent 7 years of famine. So that's when you get into what you read in verse 28.
Yes.
And so now here we see that what God is speaking is about prosperity and famine. God is very, very clear. Y'all going to have 7 years of prosperity throughout the whole land of Egypt. And then you're going to have some famine. The famine that you're going to experience is going to erase away all that prosperity that y'all had. And I think there's something to be said about understanding, some people may say, seed time and harvest time, right?
Yes.
Some people may say, you know, if you do this, then this is going to come later on down the road. God still God still loved Egypt, even though they were in a famine or going to experience a famine. It had nothing to do with what they wanted. You're not going to read anything that says they put themselves in that position. That should release some folks right there. Sometimes it's the condition of the land that causes us to be in certain situations.
That's good.
Because I knew there's some folk that's out there that may be listening. That's like, well, I can't, or this. Don't blame no Democrat, don't blame no Republican. Stop blaming the devil. Sometimes it just is. And this is one of those situations that it just was. And it just was because God had a different plan, a plan that they didn't recognize, a plan that they could not understand. So I'm going to pick up real quick, Mama. So in from 33 to 36, Pharaoh finds
you read that?
Man. Huh? Go ahead, Mama. You can go ahead and read it. 33 to 36.
Okay. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. Amen.
Mama, I'm going to let you just go ahead and you said amen to that, so there must have been something that intrigued you from what you just read. So what was it?
Yes, because, see, God had a plan way back when he allowed his Joseph's brother to put him into that dungeon. And now the plan is being played out here, you know. And although Joseph was in captivity, Joseph kept believing God, and he was also obedient to his obedient to Pharaoh, and he also didn't have an attitude and knew what that meant and wasn't going to tell him. He just went on ahead and just was still obedient and told him. And this is just, and this is showing with our planning and saving. See, God, this is me talking now. God knew that they didn't really understand what was going to happen. So God did the planning for them. And then he revealed the plan. And like you say, he sure did love Egypt. Because if this plan had not been revealed, they would have probably all died of starvation. But he told them, 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt. A lot of times when we have an overabundance of stuff, we don't think about saving, you know. We don't think about saving. Then it says, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance of Egypt will be forgotten. And the famine will ravage the land, because when any time anything negative happened, whatever the good was, we completely forget about that and we focus on what's going on at the time. And then he says the abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it would be so severe. Then he said the reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms, and wow, in the matter that had been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. So, see, God already had a plan. That's all I have to say. He had a plan.
Okay. So I'm going to take what you said. You said that they didn't understand the plan. Well, the reality was the plan wasn't for everybody. See, this interpretation of the dream by Joseph was not Joseph interpreting the dream with standing in front of all of Egypt where everybody can hear. And so I'm gonna take what you said. I'm gonna add something to it. They didn't understand the plan. Maybe they wouldn't understand the plan. Maybe they couldn't understand the plan, right?
Right.
So God you and give the strategy, if you will, to only a few. Because what you did was, he said, look, find somebody that's wise, find somebody that's intelligent, and put them in charge of the entire land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh should appoint supervisors over the land. See, now we're talking about planning and saving. It takes folks to be able to help others when others don't know what's going on. My heart has been aching over the last couple of weeks, because I'm like, God, will you send the people so that they can get it? I get tired of seeing so many people that are experiencing things which I say they don't have to be. But the reality is, he ain't going to give it to them because their hearts are not ready to receive. They can't understand it. If I say, look, I need you to put $100, I need everybody listening to put $100 into this one bank account, some folk ain't going to get it. So guess what? He ain't going to allow me to say it to all of y'all.
That's good.
But I like what Pharaoh did. Or I like what God wanted Pharaoh to do. Ask people to collect 1/5 of all the crops during the 7 good years. That's the strategy. The strategy is, here's what I need you to do. Collect all these during the good years. That's part of it. Why collect 1/5 of all the crops during the 7 good years? Because what God said is going to happen is going to happen. See, it wasn't about the famine necessarily. It was about the planning. I need y'all to be prepared for this. And so now you got Pharaoh that's appointing these supervisors to collect them. And what else does he say? Have them gather all the food produced in the good years that are just ahead and bring it to Pharaoh's storehouses. If you are looking at that in your Bible, you need to underline storehouses, because that's going to wreck your brain when it comes to talking about tithing. See, we talked about the ant last week.
Yes.
We talked about the strategy is doing it together. Well, here you see something a little bit different. See, the people are not collectively coming together as the people saying, oh, let us do this because. We know there's a famine coming. The word doesn't even say that they were told that a famine was coming.
No.
It doesn't need to go and tell them that a famine is coming. Some folk are not going to receive it. Some folk are not going to see it. So just think about God. God is looking out for them as his as their heavenly father, right?
Yes.
And as that example, as the heavenly father to take care of the children. Look, the famine is going to come. The word of God says, in this life, you should have tribulations. When I think about tribulations, doesn't necessarily mean death. It's just things that you don't want to really deal with sometimes. Things that may inconvenience you, like that flat tire on your way going to work. It's an inconvenience. Sometimes those things are going to happen, but you're going to overcome them. But how do we overcome those things? Do you sit there on the side of the doggone road, say, Lord, I still need to get to work. I ain't called nobody to come get me. But, Lord, I know you're going to take care of me. Huh? Don't make sense. Doesn't even sound logical. Matter of fact, it sounds dumb. And I hate to wreck somebody's theology, but it sounds dumb. Because what about the spare in the back? What about the donut in the back? What about calling your husband or your wife? What about calling a friend who you know has a tow truck? What about calling your supervisor saying, hey, I'm going to be about 20 minutes late. It's going to take me about 10 minutes to get this tire on. God is constantly saying to his people in this season, believe it or not believe it. But he is constantly saying, I need y'all to get it together. See, all this crap, all this talk about what's going on with the presidency, really? No, that ain't what God is not saying that we need to be talking all about that like that. You know what God is saying? I need y'all to get it together. Because if I allow who you want to be in office, if I give y'all the king that y'all are asking for, because a whole bunch of folk are asking for a king right now, if I give that person to y'all, then there's going to be some things that's going to happen within the kingdom down there on earth. And if that happens, you better get your tails prepared. But let me tell you when you're not going to get prepared. You're not going to get prepared January 1. Because whatever that date is in February. You're not going to be on, you know, when they, you know, raise their right hand and say, you know, assume office. That's not the day you get prepared. See, you see a bunch of stuff and a bunch of foolishness going on right now. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, because I'm neither Republican or Democrat, so, whatever. But you see the foolishness going on. You see certain things. Certain things are not making a lot of folks happy. Got it? So are you going to sit back and wait until that thing happens? Where they have control to do certain things? And then, we need to be saving because they don't. God's like, look, y'all better get it together right now. And I would even go as far to saying, I wonder if God is even thinking, all right, don't call on me later. I'm trying to tell you some things to do right now. Okay. And all this talk, mama, about, God hears all your prayers. There's plenty of scripture that we can validate that God shut up his ears.
He didn't hear that cry. Yes, it's a scripture that he said he didn't hear that cry.
You can cry all day long. And God may say, you know what? I've been trying to get you straight. I've been trying to show you what you need. I've been placing PRF and other things out here for you to learn what you need to learn and pursue what you need to pursue. But nah, scandal, that was where your priority was. Empire, Thug Dynasty. Let me stop giving these props. They're not paying us for all that. Some of all this foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
Hours on Facebook. Okay. I'm telling you, what I feel in my heart and in my spirit. God is really tired of us not paying attention to what's going on and then doing the things that we need to do. All right. So part of the instruction also, I guess I've come back, was stored away. Watch this. Not just store it away, not just put it in the storehouse, but guard it. Let's not skip over that part of the verse. And guard it so there will be food in the city. I'm telling you that I'm going to bring a famine or allow a famine to occur. But I need you to go out there and you need to get one-fifth of everything. And I need you to store it up. And I need it to be guarded. Why does it need to be guarded? Because when folks get hungry, when folks feel like their back's up against the wall, oh my goodness, folks will react in a way that will really be detrimental. Folks don't think when they're living outside in the elements. May not think like us with the lights and electricity and everything else. Folks may not be thinking right when their lights is getting ready to get cut off and they got two children at the house. Yeah, and they may not be thinking right, so then they go into Walmart or some other place and they go and steal something so they can sell or sell their stamps. And you understand what I'm saying, y'all. People don't think right when their backs are up against the wall. Now, I've never lived through a famine, but I sure was hungry as all get out living in Philly growing up at certain points. When food was scarce on Plymouth Street, when food was scarce on 68th Ave. I remember those times. What do you do when your back is up against the wall? The question is not, what do you do when your back is up against the wall? The thing to think about is, what can you do now to prepare so that if your back is up against the wall, you get to respond differently? Because, again, we shall have some tribulations, and we don't know what those tribulations are going to look like for everybody. In the last verse, you read it, that way there will be enough food to eat when the 7 years of famine come to the land. See, we got to guard this thing because you may just see all that sitting up there in the storehouse, and you may think, oh, well, things are a little bit rough right now, so let me just go in and I need to ask for some of that. I need to get some of that. Oh, I see that up in the storehouse, so I have an expectation that because it's up in the storehouse that you should give it to me. No, partner, don't work like that. God got a plan. You may not be privy to the plan. So just because you see it stored up over there doesn't mean that you're supposed to have access to it. The last thing that he says is, if you don't store it up, if you don't plan, if you don't save, if you don't guard it, then when these 7 years of famine come, it's going to destroy the land. Now, I really want people to understand that we're not talking about your individual household. He didn't say it's going to destroy the Dunlap household, the Smith's household, the Jones household. It says it's going to destroy the land. The land is what produces for them to be able to live life and live life more abundantly. I love what happened in the next verse. I'm just adding more verses to this, but I love what happens in the next verse. Remember, this is what Joseph is communicating to Pharaoh. Hey, this is what God says. Sometimes, look, let me just give you what God is saying right now, and that's it. So here's what I love. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh, mama. Yeah. Not just, but his officials. This is a leadership thing. When you got folks that are struggling as much as so many folks are struggling in the church, it's a leadership thing. Don't put it on the people. Who around you can God use or is using that you should be taking their suggestions that's going to help you and the people? How the heck can we talk so much about giving in the church, but we don't talk about saving and planning? What? ignorance. Total ignorance. I'm tired of it. Maybe you can hear it in my voice, but I'm tired of it. I can't even be involved with that. I can't even support that. But the leader, Pharaoh, say what you want about him, Pharaoh and his officials received the suggestions. I'm suggesting to every pastor out there, every deacon out there, every associate pastor, associate minister, bishop, whatever your title is, this is something that we have to deal with in the body of Christ. Why would broke folks outside the church want to be a part of broke folks inside the church? I can leave out the church and offer you salvation, and you ain't never got to step a foot back up in the church. You got the same thing that some of the people on the outside got now. It doesn't make sense. And I'm telling you, if there's not a change in how so many of God's houses of worship are operating right now, oh, don't complain. Don't complain. Don't complain. I'm telling you. So what else happens in Genesis 41? Pharaoh says to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of your dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent and wise as you are. So you're going to be the one in charge. Oh, so that means maybe PRF comes and we present something to your church mom and say, look, this is important, this area, this area, this area. Well, you know what? Since nobody else is able to do that, then you go ahead and you continue running with it. Okay, so now we continue running with it. And how does that work out for the people? They have something that they didn't have before. But you know what I see, the leadership piece that I see in this? Pharaoh realized, I ain't got this. I don't have this intellect in this area of planning and saving. Evidently, God gave it to you, Joseph. What the officials say, evidently, God gave it to you, Joseph. So since God gave it to you, I need you to run this. It ain't had nothing to do with being in charge, but it was operating and using what was already there in the house. There has to be a utilization of what is already in the house and or what God brings to you for your betterment. So then what I'm going to go down a couple more. So let's go to what happened. Let's go down to verse 47. And in verse 47, it says, as predicted, for 7 years, the land produced bumper crops. They just busting out at the seams. Let me actually do something for a moment, y'all. Do you remember a time when things were going really well in the real estate markets? Do you remember a time when things were going really well with what we call the dot-com era? We're just producing so many rich folks. Okay. So now people are saying, in today's time, they want stuff to go back to the way it was. Well, when the heck do you, which piece of time do you want to go back to? But you just wanted to go back to the place where things were prosperous, but you don't want to go back to the place of where people had the plan to put things in place in order for there to be prosperity. During those years, Mama, Joseph did what he was asked to do. Went and made sure and gathered all those crops, and they stored it up from, you know, all around these different fields in the cities. It says he piled up huge amounts of grain like sand on the seashore. You can't count the grains of sand on the seashore. It says finally he stopped keeping records because there was too much to measure. Oh, my goodness. But you don't see anything here where the people were not doing well. Everything was prospering. See, here's one of the lessons that I want y'all to take away. See, you could think things are going good right now, but you have no earthly idea what the heck is coming. So trust in your stuff if you want to. But there can be some things that could come across your life that will wreck shop, that you never thought about.
Amen to that.
So you can't get too proud. You can't be too too proud and too happy and all these other stuff. You can't be where it doesn't matter. Yes, it matters. Because if you continue to live, there's going to be something that's going to come up that's not going to be favorable. A lot of folks lost their jobs in recent years. You know how long it took them to bounce back? Even folk who had savings accounts, mama, even folk who had 401ks, guess what happened? They ran out eventually. Folks with good jobs experienced a medical condition, had insurance. Eventually, the bills start piling up. Insurance only means so much. Then people have to go into it. See, when I read that verse, what it says to me is that their planning and their saving had a specific purpose. This is the purpose. As predicted, for 7 years, the land produced crops. He gathered all the crops, stored it up, just like he was supposed to do. In our lesson on giving that we teach, one of the principles within this principle is that giving must have purpose. So the same thing with planning and saving. Your planning and your saving has to have purpose. Ask God to show you what that purpose is. And sometimes he may not give you that right now. God does not always give us every step of the plan. We're in Genesis 41. Remember what happened in Genesis 12? Just go. That's what he told Abram. Just go to a place that I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you, but I ain't going to show you where it is right now. That's like saying, get in your car and drive 95 south. Where the heck do I stop when I tell you? Because sometimes we can't handle the plan. So we just need to do the step that's before us, right?
Yes.
Sometimes purpose may not be identified. It may not be practical enough for us to embrace it. But that's still what we got to do. Okay. I don't know if I want to stop there or if I want to keep going tonight, mama.
I'm gonna stop there.
This, look, what we see is something really simple. What we see is something really successful, right? So,
yes.
Again, I know we're talking about a fresh biblical start to planning and saving. I know we're talking about more practical strategies. And I mentioned it earlier, so I'll mention it again. The strategy that we're dealing with tonight, it's only going to help you if you just embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
What did you, you know, if I was in a room with a whole bunch of folks, I would ask, what did you see in what we read? Hopefully what you've seen as the strategy that we're trying to uplift to you is this. Operate within a system that works. Operate within a system that works for you. It's not hard. It's not the most difficult thing in the world. See, if I tell you to operate within a system that works, and then you find a system that works, then now everything is on you because now you have a responsibility to operate within it. If I say operate within a system that works for you and God reveals a system that doesn't look like the system that your next-door neighbor is operating in, then you operate within that. See, again, number one was doing it together. That's the first strategy. So the second strategy is operating within a system that works for you. And when you say, when I say you, I want you to think about it from a collective you, not an individualistic you. Okay? And I say that because when we as a community are scattered all over the place, all working on our own individualistic goals, all working on our own hustles, all trying to get our own come ups, then we don't move as fast as we can when we move together. We don't progress as a community as God would like us to. See, nobody's fooling God. Person at house number one on the block is sitting there with $20,000 in the bank. You don't know that. But yet, person in house number three next door got their lights off. So then I'm saying, why is the person with their lights off, yet this other person that's next door has all this money stored up? We have to start asking more questions. Well, is there a plan that the person at house number one has? Is there a reason? Does the person need to be in the dark for a couple of weeks because God was showing them, I need you to start planning right now, 7 months ago? But yet they still want to go they still want to hang out at the club or go to the movies or go skeet shooting or play golf and use their money that way. And then now they're in the dark. See, we can't respond and we can't react to everything that comes up, even when there's a famine period. So all I'm suggesting for us to do, for y'all to do, is take that second strategy. Just take the second strategy and operate within a system that works. And what you've seen tonight from Genesis 41 is a system that works. What's the system? Real simple. Real simple strategy. While things are going as well as they are right now for you, those of you who are it's going well for right now, that's not eating out of a trash can, that has electricity, that's able to go out every now and then, things are okay or better than okay. But yet you're sitting there with $0 in your bank account as a savings. That ain't the way. The simple way from the scripture, put it aside right now, because you don't know when a famine is coming. Put it away right now because you don't know when a tribulation may occur. And I know that is speaking to some folks, Mama, some folks.
Yes.
Some, I don't want to call them out that way right now, but some folk that's leading flock that may challenge the framework of what some people selfishly want for their own house. But the reality is, if it's not being stored up properly, then when their famine comes in the people's individual lives, who the heck they going to come to? If they can't come to you, a place where stuff is being supposedly stored up, then Houston, we have a problem. I want everybody to be successful. I want us to focus on the success, being successful. I want us to focus on keeping this thing of planning and saving simple. You know, let's talk about what works, rather than focusing on what doesn't or what didn't work. There's value in understanding the what didn't or what doesn't work. So you and I, we have to move towards what actually does work. We have to move towards what will work in the future. If we're going to keep this thing simple, the wisdom in having or developing a simple strategy, Mama, is to not make it complicated. See, God said, I need you to collect 1/5, 20%. How the heck are you going to save 20% if you can't even give God 10%? But if God says it, then you're not going to have a problem doing it. And you got to understand this simple thing. This wasn't something that they decided to do. This is something that leadership said, this is what we're going to do. This is what leaders said, this is what we're going to do. So I dare you. I dare you with the Spirit of God behind you to stand up on Sunday morning and say, you know what? Everything that you give for the next month or 2 months or 3 months, we're going to take 5% of what you give and we're going to put it all over here to something else. Not pay bills, not pay my salary, not pay administrative costs, but we're going to put it over here so that when you need something as a member, you don't have to go to a payday loan. When you need something, an emergency comes up because you're working on building your credit, but you just ain't there yet. You're making good strides. You don't have to go put more money back on that credit card that's 13, 14, 22% interest and then have trouble paying that debt off. I dare you. Keep it simple. Don't make it complicated. You can ask one simple question and let that be your starting point. How do we do it? If you ask how, just that simple question, how, then I'm going to suggest the first person you should be talking to is God. That's where that first question should be coming to. Lord, you know I'm not, you know I haven't been saving. You know we ain't really got too much money saved up right now. Lord, I hear what Dr. Dunlap is saying. We know we don't want to get caught with our pants down, so to speak. So show us how. And if it's something that comes through us, praise God. If God diverts you to someplace else that can get you to that how, praise God. Because it just needs to be simple. And wisdom tells us this. If you and I allow the first person in our conversation to be with God, then allow God to direct us. Us as the people. If you allow God to direct us where he may direct us to somebody else, I'm telling you, I'm more than confident that God's wisdom is going to appear in our lives, regardless of where we're at. So, the first strategy was do it together. Remember Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. And tonight, operate within a system that works. If you don't have a system, if you can't see a system that works, ask God. If you see a system that works, be a part of that system that works. And, of course, we're talking about a system of God, right? Something similar to what we've read and talked about from Genesis 41. Mama, we have gone over a little bit. I thought we were only going to have about 40 minutes, and I thought I was going to be out of gas, but evidently I'm not. So I'm going to let you get the next to the last word, and then I have an important announcement.
Okay, well, I don't have anything to say.
Oh, my goodness. What? Mama? I'm going to go put my hand on Mama's forehead and see if she got a fever. Oh, my goodness. Well, look, you know, sometimes it's like that, Mama. It really is. So listen, everybody, we're grateful. We're thankful for you. We appreciate all of those of you who have been listening to us. Again, we apologize for going over, but sometimes it's just some things that just have to get out there. I want y'all to definitely tune in next week. We have a very special announcement that we're going to put out there next week on next week's show. There's something spectacular that is about to happen come the beginning of May, and we want everybody to be listening out for it. Go to our website, which is prfministry.org. You can keep up with the different announcements and events that we have going on, and also there's a way that you can contact us so that we can possibly come and give you not just the radio version, but the real deal version where we're actually standing before you conducting the various workshops that we have with PRF Teaching Ministry. So with that, let God order your steps. If you let God order your steps, I am more than confident that God is going to do some great and miraculous things in your life. So for all of us here on the PRF table, myself, Minister Sanders, Tara Sherwood, Warren Feaster, Mama, a.k.a. Mary Ann Williams, myself, Dr. Dunlap, we say God bless you. We love you. We'll see you back here next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the PRF table.